Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'd like to start out today with you with a couple of scriptures, beginning here in Luke chapter 12. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, nor about your body, what you shall put on." Verse 25, "And which of you, by being worried, can add one cubit to his span of life? And if you're not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you worried about the rest?" Then we turn over to Luke chapter 1 and we read things like this: "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Do not be afraid, Mary." Then in Luke chapter 2, "Do not be afraid, shepherds." John chapter 6, "Do not be afraid, disciples." Acts 27, "Do not be afraid, Paul." Now, based on these verses of Scripture, would you say that God wants you to live your lives in worry, fears, and anxieties? He wants you to live your lives as Christians in confidence and peace in Him. But I think it's just as obvious a lot of us do wrestle with these things, right? Worries, fears, and anxieties each and every day. There's a list as endless of what we can worry about. Obviously, it's not God's will for our lives. And so, is there a remedy? Is there something God would teach us in His Word today to help eradicate and erase these things from our lives and drive them out? Has God a remedy? What is it? That's what we'll talk about today. First off, let me ask you this. What do you worry about? What kinds of things make you anxious in life? What are you afraid of? Can you give me a list? Well, here on Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, "Don't be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, nor about your body, what you shall put on." So there's anxiety about food, about clothing, about having enough to supply our daily needs, right? Bills, money, debts. We all might also worry about marriage, our children, relationships. Kids might be worried about a test at school, whether people like them. Your job, your future, the country, big things, little things, life, and even death. All these things can worry us and make us afraid in our lives. Some of us experience these kinds of things more, some of us less, but I think all of us, at least some. So next question then is, I think we need to understand, where do these emotions come from? Anxieties, worries, and fears. Where do they originate from? What is their source? Why do we get worried, anxious, and afraid? What do you think? Well, let's take a look at an Old Testament scripture. We can learn about where these things come from. Story of Goliath. Beginning chapter 17, verse 4. We read, "And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." How tall is that? 9 feet. So about that big, with all the muscle to boot. "And he had a helmet of bronze on his head, armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had greaves of bronze upon his legs, javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield-bearer went before him, and he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'What have you? Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are all not all servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together.'"
Now, how would you respond?
"When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Where's fear, anxiety, and worry come from, friends? When something or someone comes against you that you perceive to be a threat, who is bigger than you are, meaner, more powerful, mightier, more ominous, and more threatening than you, all of a sudden up come all these feelings. They were greatly afraid. They were greatly dismayed, worried, and anxious because it was bigger than they. Goliath. Is there a problem that you have that you're worried about in this life right now? That you've been worrying about or anxious over or afraid of this very week?
Yeah, I
bet you do. Yeah? Okay. All right, we can maybe pray about that during the prayers. All right? I will bet you that your problem, you're perceiving it like a Goliath, that it is bigger than you are. You know, if I'm out there in the field and I'm walking along, I see a little ant, I'm not afraid of an ant because I know that my power is bigger than the ant. If I go out in that field and I meet a lion, I'm afraid because its power I perceive is bigger than mine. So that's where fears and anxieties and worries come from. It's when we perceive a threat and we perceive that that is bigger and mightier than we are, and our strength is not able to prevail, cannot prevail. And that's why the army was afraid. They couldn't stand before Goliath. They shook in their boots. And so the same with us. What are you afraid of today? What are you anxious over? Is it bigger than you? Well, what's God then say to us? What's the remedy for all this? How does he remove our fears? Well, let's read on in the story and get the answer and see it in David. We pick it up there in verse 23. And as David talked with the soldiers, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. And then we jump down to verse 32. And David said to Saul, the king, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine, for he has been a warrior from his youth, but you are but a youth. But David said to him, to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him, and I smote him and delivered it out of its mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him and killed him. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. That sounds like confidence, huh? And David said, the Lord, who delivered me out of the mouth of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. The Holy Spirit has recorded this for you so that you might know how to live with peace and confidence. The army was frightened because their eyes were upon Goliath. He's bigger than I am. David was full of confidence, boldness, and peace because his eyes were on who? On whom? The Lord. And he said, the Lord, my God, is way bigger than this Goliath. God, my God, has delivered me from lions. They're the same as Goliath. He's delivered me from bears. This Philistine shall be like one of them. For the Lord delivered me from their hands before. He'll deliver me from this one. What did Goliath look like to David, would you say? Was he a giant 9 feet tall? Well, he saw that, but he was a pipsqueak. He was of little account. He was trivial because his eyes were on God and not his problem. His eyes were on the Lord, not Goliath. And therefore, he seemed small because God was big. And I've actually seen a bumper sticker. I think it was a bumper sticker. It said, don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God is. Have you done that? What would happen to your worries and your fears and anxieties if the eyes of your heart were on the Lord and not on your present situation? What would happen? We need to learn the truth of this scripture from Psalm 33, verse 16, and let this sink into your hearts right now. The Holy Spirit says, a king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse, vain hope for victory. By its great might it cannot save. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Do you believe this? Say, the battle is the Lord's.
The battle is the Lord's.
Say, the Lord will deliver me out of your hand. Think of whatever problems and anxieties and fears you have today. What is that problem? Say, the Lord will deliver me out of your hand.
The Lord will deliver me out of
your hand. All right, we need to shout that out, though, with real gusto and faith, because there's a real power I've found in my life when you not only internalize it and say, okay, I know the word of the Lord, or I feel it, but I speak it, and I speak it with some authority and say, this present trouble, I've faced a lion before, I've faced a bear before, I've faced other troubles before. Who is this, and what is this uncircumcised trouble today that would defy the armies of the living God? My God is bigger than you, and he will give me the victory in this. And David ran forth with his sling and his stone, and he struck down the giant. And so what I'm saying to you today is the answer, the solution to conquer all these fears, anxieties, and worries is faith. And what is faith? Is to believe that God is with you, number one, he is for you, and he will provide for you the victory according to his promises in Jesus Christ our Lord. Is it possible for God to fail you if you put your trust in him? Does he ever not keep his word? He is faithful to his word from the beginning of everlasting to everlasting. And he will keep his word to you. So as long as your eyes are on your Goliath, I'll guarantee you fear, anxiety, and worry will be big. And no matter how as big as Goliath you perceive him to be, so shall be your fears. But as soon as you put your eyes on the Lord over, standing over your Goliath, fear and anxiety and worry cannot exist where faith is full. So you trust God to provide for you like this in your life? Do you have any worries, anxieties, or fears today? Then we're not trusting, right? And I think we all have a long way to go, myself included. So next question I think we need to ask then is, but will God provide for you? Will he save you? Will he see you through? Can you rely on him? Well, let's consider a few things. First off, he preserved David, didn't he? He was there for him. When the Philistine arose and came near and drew near to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a smooth stone, slung it, struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead. He fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. He preserved David. Doesn't the Holy Spirit want you to know he'll preserve you? He also preserves and provides for his people in the wilderness. 40 years. Can you imagine in the desert land, 600,000 people, 40 years. You know, I watch Man vs. Wild and Survivor Man. I love those kind of shows. I totally want to do that stuff. They could not survive 4 days out there. God takes 600,000 people where there's no water, there's no food, keeps them alive 40 years. Can God provide for you? How about he provides for all of his creation? In Isaiah 40, God says, lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? The stars. He brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he's strong in power, not one is missing. Does God provide for the stars? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. You know, God provides, Jesus says, for all of his creatures. Jesus preached a sermon. He says, check out the ravens. Look at the birds. They're not sowing, they're not reaping, they don't have storehouses, they don't have barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Why are you anxious and worried? He takes care of them, Jesus says. And you know what? God even provides for wicked people who curse him, abuse him, and never give thanks to him, never acknowledge him as their provider of all things. Jesus again says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. Does God take care of wicked people? Does he provide them with shelter and food and clothing and relationships, even though they curse him? And will he not more provide for you, O ye of little faith? The people whom he has chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world and taken for his own possession and saved in Jesus Christ. Of course, you saved the whole world, but you've believed in it. And is he going to abandon you? Forget it. God is a providing God. He wants you to know him as your provider. And that's what really faith is. To believe he's with me, he's for me, and he will provide. Say provide.
Provide.
He will provide for me. That's faith speaking, and that's what you want to shout out whenever you face something tough. What could be as simple as this? But you might say, why then is it so hard? I mean, I understand, I agree, God provides. Surely I acknowledge that with my mind, but why is it so hard for him to trust in my heart and get rid of these fears, worries, and anxieties? You know why? Because flesh tends to trust in flesh. We all still have this old nature that's lingering around, even after we've been saved, inherited from Adam, that wants to trust in the things of the flesh, in things that you can touch, handle, taste, see, all those kinds of things. What does the flesh want to do? You face a problem, what are you going to trust in? How strong is my own intellect? How big is my own bank account? How great is our army or navy? The flesh trusts in javelins and swords and tanks and bank accounts because that's what it tends to do. To trust in the flesh. And in fact, all the saints have wrestled with this. You know that? Even the best. Take the people in the wilderness. We're out in the wilderness. There's nothing to eat, nothing to drink. Let's go back to Egypt where we had fish and cucumbers and melons. Even though we were slaves and beaten up, well, the flesh tends to trust in the flesh. Even Moses felt that way, right? God says, I will feed this people. I will provide for them food for an entire month so that it comes out their noses. They won't even be able to eat it all. Moses then said in Numbers 11, the people whom I'm with, God, they number 600,000 people. And you've said, I'll give them meat that they may eat a whole month? Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to suffice? Shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice? And watch this word now. Listen, from the Lord to Moses, he said, God said, is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. And isn't that what it's all about? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not, whether the Lord's hand is shortened to provide. He wants you to know him as provider. God summoned a great wind, and he carried quails from the sea and threw them down all around the camp so that they ate for a whole month and couldn't even fill. They were so overfilled they couldn't finish it all. Flesh tends to trust in flesh. We see that the same with the disciples. Remember we read a moment ago about the storm on the sea. Jesus is asleep on the cushion, relaxed. The disciples, the boat's filling. The wind, the waves, the black clouds. We're going down. Wake them up. We're sinking. What were they looking at? The flesh. Black clouds, waves, wind, the strength of our own puny arms. And they were crying. Good, thank you for that. They were crying. Jesus gets up, and what does he rebuke them saying? he says, why are you afraid? Where is your faith? Notice the juxtaposition. Faith and afraid. You have fear because you have no faith. And what does it mean? What does Jesus say there? What does it mean? But why do you not provide for me to provide for you? I mean, why do you not trust for me to provide for you? That's where faith was lacking. Their eyes were fixed on the waves, and so they were frightened. So Peter, also, when he got out of the boat and walked on the water, on the sea, to Jesus, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water, he said on another occasion. Come, Jesus says. So Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the sea, and came to Jesus, and he's doing great, right? But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And he beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, and said to him, O man of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So what's the lesson God is teaching you here about your fears and anxieties and worries. Does he want you to act to save yourself? Yes. David took the sling and the stone. He didn't just kick back on a lawn chair. He got this and he ran and he slew the giant. But where was his heart? His eyes were only on the Lord, not on his giant. Physical eyes on the giant, okay. Eyes of his heart on the Lord, he's bigger. I have no fear. I have only confidence, peace, and joy because my eyes are on him. Same with Peter. As long as he sees Jesus, peace, confidence. As soon as he looks at the waves, doubt, fear, worry, and he cries out. So that's God's word to you today. Isaiah 26 says, God, you keep him, that person, in perfect peace, the one whose mind is fixed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Do you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
God is with me. He is for me to provide for me. So stop telling God how big your problems are, perhaps, although you can do that too. But start telling your problems how big your God is and shout it out. Right, Russ?
Amen.
Amen. There you go. I knew you were here. You know what? The good news for us today is that even though the flesh, that your old flesh, tends to trust in the flesh, guess what? You've been born of the Spirit by baptism and by faith in the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit in you tends to trust in the things of the Spirit. It's natural for the children of God to look to Jesus. So put that into action. Use it. Put on that new nature. What can you do to trust God more? Well, one thing you can do is pray. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief, said one man to Jesus. Imagine yourself driving up to a drive-through window. You have a faith that's either small, medium, or large. And God says to you, you say, I'd like some faith, please. And he says to you, would you like to supersize that? For an extra 49 seconds of prayer, you say, absolutely, supersize me. Okay? God gives you faith, and faith eradicates all fear. So ask for it. Secondly, what does faith lay hold of? We don't just believe in God willy-nilly. We grab onto his word, his promise, which can't fail you. So grab onto this word if you want to eradicate worries, fears, and shout them out. The scripture promises. God is not a man that he should lie to you, or the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? When Naomi and Beth was given birth to Naomi, my wife of my daughter, you know, she very nearly died. She almost ruptured years ago. And our scripture theme verse was, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee, from 2 Chronicles. Say that with me. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And that's what God wants in every case. He delivered Beth in her delivery. And so I want you to shout it out right now. Will God provide for you? Say, God will provide. How about in choosing a direction in your life? I don't know the way to go, Lord. He says, trust in me with all your heart. Lean not on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge me, and I'll make straight your paths. Will God provide for you direction? Say, God will provide. Trials and temptations. You're feeling the heat of a persecution. Will you endure? No temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man. God's faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation, he'll provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Will God provide for you in time of trouble? Say, God will provide.
God will provide.
Food and clothing. I've been young and I've been old now, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken, his children begging for bread. The future, God says, I know the plans I have for you to give you a future and a hope. Will God provide? God will provide.
God will provide.
And indeed, friends, God has provided for us. That's what he does. Everything in Jesus Christ on the cross. He has provided for you the biggest questions as well as the little ones of death and hell and damnation and judgment. He says, I provide for you in Jesus what you cannot provide by your own strength. I provide for you my own son. I provide his shed blood for your forgiveness. I provide for you atonement. I provide for you peace with me. I provide for you a kingdom. I provide for you the Holy Spirit. I provide for you eternal life everlasting. Put your trust in me. As Abraham said, on the mount of the Lord, It shall be provided. That was when he took his son Isaac up on the mountain, and 2,000 years ago, years later, God our Father took Jesus, his son, onto that same mountain, offered him there to provide for the salvation of the whole world, to provide for your salvation, so that you can get rid of all your fears and worries and anxieties with respect to him and with respect to life. I have provided to him all the prophets bear witness, says Peter, that everyone who believes in Jesus receives the forgiveness of sins through faith in through his name, through faith in his name. God is your provider, friends. He provides for everything, and he wants you to know and live your life in trust in him as your provider. So you can look at the waves, you look at the sea, you look at your Goliath, and you can be afraid and worried and anxious if you want, or you can look at God. Train the eyes of your hearts on Jesus, the Word and the Spirit, and you can have confidence and peace. Not telling God how big your problems are, but how big your God is, so that you can say to whatever comes against you, with David, who or what is this uncircumcised Philistine that it should defy the armies of the living God? In Jesus' name, amen.